Yes.
Yes.
The great I am.
Amen. 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 And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everyone doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here this morning. If you are visiting with us, you are truly our honored guest this morning. And our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just great to be alive this morning. We know that many of our ladies, some of our ladies, are on the ladies' retreat, and we are praying that they have a safe return home this evening. And I'm sure my wife has been giving me the update. She said they're having a glorious time in the Lord, and we thank God for them. If you'll join me, if you will. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. If you'll join me, if you will. We have been embarking on a lesson series. We've entitled the Jesus Examination Series. The Jesus Examination Series. And we are simply taking a closer look at Jesus. Some maybe more in investigative mode as you are searching, maybe searching, trying to decide what place, where, how, if you're going to allow Jesus to be in your life. I know we don't take for granted. We know that some of us come here, most of us probably primarily come here, we already feel like we have a relationship with Jesus, but you never know who's in our audience and who. Sometimes people come and they're just searching for answers, searching for answers to life's questions, searching for truth. And we welcome you to come to the house of the Lord. We believe that's where you need to come. Amen. If you are searching. And if you are, we hope that you would take an approach that is open. Your mind is open to listening to the word of God, to listen to dialogue that would hopefully guide you in a path path to your conviction. Because ultimately, it's up to you. It really is. We make our own choice. And you say what you will or may. I know this is a biased audience in here this morning. But some of you were not always where you are right now. And you had to grow to the point where you believe what you believe. But you need to know why you believe what you believe. So when people ask you, you'll have an answer to tell people and to try to convict people and teach people what you may believe if you're that convicted about it. We studied the life of Jesus. We started off in trying to deal with the authenticity of his birth, that it really happened, that he was born in this world as we are born into this world. Of course, there were some supernatural and miraculous events that occurred. We have dealt with an undeniable affirmations from those that are outside believers, pagans, if you will, people of the world, those that are Jewish, the same ancestry as Jesus, but not Christians, and then those that are Christians. We tried to identify why Jesus came to this world. We talked about Jesus in the flesh and some of the things that he did and when he came, what was his purpose for coming in the flesh. We talked about his life and how he lived and how Jesus paid his dues. And he didn't just come here a brilliant genius of a man. He was born a boy and he learned and asked questions and he studied and then he started his ministry. We talked about his focus and how he was focused on his ministry. Then his teaching. We've been dealing with his teaching, the profound teaching that he had when he was on this earth, his ethical and his moral teaching. We spent last week on part two of his teaching where we understand from the word of God, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God, is what Jesus said, but he that doeth the will of my Father. He wasn't just teaching just to be teaching. Amen. He was teaching because he wanted us to make a choice. He wants us to make a choice into who we are going to follow while we are here on this earth, this short time that we are here. And as every day we live, we ought to realize that life is so short. And you know what? You need to hurry up and make up your mind what you're going to do with your life if you haven't already. And we want to get deeper into Jesus' teaching because if the Bible is true, If the Bible is true, you will make a choice whether you're going to follow it or not. Amen. And there's no in-between ground. And I want to pick up our lesson this morning in John chapter 3, verse 1. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, we left off last week. It says that Jesus was going throughout all Galilee. And he was teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. This is the core of his message. Notice, this is the core of Jesus. If you missed this, you missed what Jesus' mission, what he was all about. Yeah. Gospel, good news. Good communication. You see, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we got to get the news. Amen. We got to get the message. And his message was, it wasn't just a short, concise message. It had much teaching. See, the gospel, sometimes we get fooled. Those that have been in the church a long time, we think like the gospel is just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Yes, that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus are the facts of the gospel. It is the core ground, the core stone. It is what distinguishes Jesus from any other leader, any other person, any other man, that he lived, he died, and he rose again on the third day. That's what distinguishes Jesus. But there's so much more to Jesus than just him dying on the cross for our sins. That was the culminating act. See, the gospel of the kingdom includes Jesus' moral teaching. Amen. It was different than the old law. Under the old law, thou shalt not commit murder. Under the new law, Jesus said, you need to stop doing what leads to murder. Amen. You need to get your heart right. Don't call anybody a fool, because that'll get you killed right there, won't it? Yeah, he says, don't think of people as no good, good for nothing people. And he went to the core of the matter. Not only, under the old law, they divorced for all kind of reasons. Jesus says, you can't divorce for any reason. It was not so in the beginning, and now it's not so now. Jesus said, not only that, you need to stop committing adultery. Not only the act of adultery, you need to stop doing it in your mind. Jesus, in a climate of war, Jesus says, you're not to hate your enemy, but to love your enemy. Yeah. Boy, that's a profound teaching that Jesus taught. Yeah. Jesus says not only this, he says, I don't even want you showboating. When you do your goods, don't do it to be seen of men, do it in secret. Yeah. And God will reward you in open. Yeah, Jesus, all of this is gospel preaching. It's teaching of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, different way of life. And yes, it's profound. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody all right this morning? Yes. Amen. God is good. I'm falling in love more and more with the word of God, what Jesus is teaching. I say, Lord, and it humbles me to say, Lord Gary, you got a long way to go. Whew, Lord have mercy. I need to get my stuff together. Now there was a man of the Pharisees. This is Jesus talking. Pharisees. And some of this we need to study closer so we can see the Pharisees were the religious leaders. See, and I know that now, like we have religious leaders today. But Pharisees were the elite religion. They're the lawyers who knew the Old Testament law like the back of their hands. And this was a man, his name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews now. And Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a member of the great Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, the word Sanhedrin means council. The Jews and in their cities, in Jerusalem, there are 70 men who were selected, and elect men who were studied, who had gone to school, who knew the law. And this man, Nicodemus, was a ruler of the Jews. But he came to Jesus. You take note of that now. You take note of that. He came to Jesus, a man of authority. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, now it's notable that he came by night. It's obvious that he'd already seen and heard of Jesus. You have to read before to see that. Jesus already performing miracles and people are following him. Miracles that nobody else had seen. See, Nicodemus took note of that. He's a ruler. And he came to Jesus by night, probably because he didn't want to be seen in the daytime. Maybe he didn't want his comrades to be seen. But I tell you what else, to those of us, especially if you are seeking, sometimes you need to get away from the noise that's around you so you can see Jesus. Sometimes the noise can be some of your well-meaning friends or your non-well-meaning friend. See, sometimes you think people are your friend, but they're not. They just want to be with you. Sometimes it's for what you have. Sometimes it's what you bring to the table. They just want to hang with you. They just want to be associated with you because they think you somebody. Yeah. Nicodemus, I don't know what his noise was. We know he was a member of the Sanhedrin. We know he was a Pharisee. And some of us, sometimes our noise can be in our own household. Amen. Yeah, and you know, and say what you will of me. This is to young people, old people, whoever you are. See, even those of you that's in the Church of Christ, many of you are members of the Church of Christ just because you grew up in a family of Church of Christ people. Now, I know you weren't going to amen loud, but that's just the truth. If you grew up in a family that was all Catholics, you are most likely going to be a Catholic. That's just the truth. But let me say this now. You get old enough and you hear it. You're studying and you are reading for yourself. You need to do that. Amen. And you don't need to follow nothing if it's not the word of God. Amen. And that's easier said than done. And sometimes the only way you can hear from Jesus, the only way you can listen clearly to what Jesus is saying is for you to get away from the noise. And get in the quietness where you can study or listen to the word of God. There may be someone here this morning who are just there right now. You're just like Nicodemus. You've been hearing noise. It may be in your school. It may be in an organization. It may be in a club. It may be in an affiliation. Someone asked me the other day about the Masons. I don't know very much about the Masons, but I do know this. Nothing should come before, I believe, your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Amen. Personally, that's what my conviction is. And anything that takes away from the time that I need to be serving my great God is too much for me. That's what I've decided for myself. Now, Nicodemus, he got away by night, and he called out, Rabbi. He knew Rabbi, Master. We know that you've come from God. Tell you, he already, see, and sometimes you never know when people watching you. See, you never know when people are on your job, where you are. People might not say nothing. But I know sometimes I make a mistake, but I do watch people. Not that I'm trying to judge them, but I like to see when somebody is for real. And I know you feel the same way you do. Because, see, you can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool them all the time. And you know what the world people want? You know why sometimes our relatives don't commit to the Lord, commit to being baptized. You know why sometimes? Because they watching us, and we mess it up. We just mess it up. We say, "Oh, you need to come to church with me. You can come." And the next thing you look up, you go, "Why do I need to go to church with you? And you doing the same thing?" But Nicodemus, he says, we know that you've come. How do you know, Nicodemus, as a teacher? For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Oh, I tell you, we already talked about Jesus. We talked about his life. We talked about him. That's why I did that first. Because when it comes to his teaching, his word, we want you to take him serious. We want there's nobody like him. And this is why we need to listen to him. Because Jesus has paid his dues. He's proven that he is worthy. Nicodemus had already come to this. He says, listen, I know you the master. I know you from God because I've been watching you, seeing what you're doing. And he says, Jesus answered, said to him, King James Version, verily, verily, New American Standard Translation, truly, truly, I say to you, now notice, most of us, you know, when some people compliment us like that, we be like, oh, thank you very much, I appreciate that, because I am from God, I am a Christian, I am a member of the Church of Christ. Jesus didn't entertain that, didn't get caught up on glory and gloating and taking praise and taking a bow. He just got right to the point. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the teaching of Jesus. He immediately, he calls Nicodemus to action. He calls him to action, and Nicodemus didn't know what he was talking about at the time. But what Jesus is saying is that you might admire me, you might think I'm from God, but you not only need to admire me. Somebody might be listening right now and might say, well, you know, I've never heard anybody present the truth like that, and that's good, and I'm glad, and you speak very well. Well, it ain't about me. It's about how we, you, I, the world will respond to the word of God. So Nicodemus, you admire me, but what I want you to do is to obey me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus could proclaim that because of who he was. He could demand that because of who he was. And I don't have time to read all the story, because Jesus didn't come to impress, although his miracles did, although his actions did, but he came to impress upon us, to impress upon us our reaction to the word of God and his teaching. And you know what? If we did a search of history, Nicodemus converted. Amen. He became a believer. I'm going to show you. See, he became a believer. And proof of his belief we see in John chapter 7, verse 47. One of the proofs of his belief is John chapter 7, verse 47. Now Jesus has spoken about the kingdom already. His message was the gospel of the kingdom. Nicodemus heard this. He just didn't quite understand it. He goes, says, I need to know more. I want more. I want to understand what Jesus is talking about. He goes secretly to Jesus, and Jesus puts him on the spot. Says, you need to be born of the water and the spirit. Nicodemus still had questions. He had questions, but I do know that he converted. Listen to John chapter 7, verse 47, part of the proof. The Pharisees, they called, in this particular instance, the Pharisees, they were calling for Jesus to be arrested. And Jesus becomes so popular at this time, he's preaching, they sent some people to go arrest Jesus, and they ended up not taking Jesus. And they went back to the Pharisees. Hey, there's nobody that speaks like this man. There's nobody that speaks with the authority of this man. And listen to what the Pharisees say in John 7:47, the Pharisees then answered them, you have not also been led astray, have you, to the men? You've been led astray by this Jesus, is what they were saying. No one of the rulers of the Pharisees has believed, has he? Now remember, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. And he said, none of us has believed us, has he? And listen to what, but the crowd which does not know the law is accursed. He says, the crowd, they don't know the Old Testament law. We know all the law. We know everything about it. They're cursed. And then in verse 50, listen to what Nicodemus, he steps up. And Nicodemus, who had came to him before, being one of them, said to them, our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing. Does it? Nicodemus is in the Sanhedrin. He is a Pharisee. They try to lay hold on Jesus, and Nicodemus say, hold on, wait a minute. You can't take this man, and we haven't judged him. He used that same law on the Pharisees. Now, some of you, I know you want to, the title of this lesson is the kingdom of God, and I'm getting to the kingdom, but the kingdom hadn't come into fruition just yet. But Nicodemus became a believer And Jesus, his conversation with Jesus changed his mind. Now, notice, Nicodemus is a religious man. There are a lot of religious people that live in the world today, but they still have not obeyed Jesus the way Jesus wants them to obey him. Amen. I had to say that. But what are you saying, Brother Gary? I'm saying just what the Bible says, that it's not about religion. It's not about what you believe. It's not about what you are. It's about what Jesus wants you to become. Oh, my goodness. You mean Jesus is calling a man who already calls on the Father, who already is serving God, who already is in religion, and he's calling him to change? Yes, he is. Jesus came to change the whole, to change the system. He came to change the world. Nicodemus, right? Now, other thing to be noted, I want to take my time. Another thing to be noted is that Nicodemus converted, but he stayed in the Sanhedrin. And some folks in the church need to hear this at this particular time. Now, he was a believer. Some situations are not as easy to get out of. They're not as easy to get out of. And I'm just making a point is that, see, some of us, we want to convert folks to get our own brownie points, and we want to. Yeah, I got them in the Church of Christ, and I got them. Well, you didn't get nobody in the Church of Christ. First of all, the Church of Christ is not yours; it's the Lord's. And Nicodemus, now notice, Jesus says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. But at this particular time, now, Nicodemus didn't go get baptized just right away. Well, how do you know that, Brother Gary? Because the kingdom hadn't even come just yet. But he certainly put it on his heart. And in his mind, Nicodemus believes everything that Jesus says. And he does not denounce his position immediately, but he ponders on everything that he has been taught, and he is convinced that this is Jesus the Christ. Now, notice something else. Some of you in the church, you may not realize this also. It realizes also. Nicodemus, one of the other proofs that we know that Jesus, that Nicodemus, this passage, that Jesus, his point where Jesus touched his heart, is because at Jesus' death, when Jesus died, go if you will to John chapter 19, verse 39. John chapter 19, verse 39. This is also to me proof of his conversion. Not his conversion is his mind. Now, being converted in your mind is not enough to obey God. Don't get me wrong, but I want you to understand where the conviction starts in your heart and in your mind. John chapter 19, verse 39. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night. Same Nicodemus also came bringing myrrh. Now, this is after Jesus had died. They've taken him off the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, in verse 38, you'll see Joseph of Arimathea. He also was a notable man who was converted. And he allowed Jesus to be buried in his tomb. And here Nicodemus, he bringing a mixture of myrrh and ash, just about 100 pounds away. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen, wrappings with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. So you have Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus taking the body of Jesus and bearing the body of Jesus. Amen. You think Jesus can't have an effect on somebody? Amen. His profound teaching. And so if you will, as we examine the life of Jesus, I want you to take off all of your shells and all of your linings and all of your coatings and what you are. See, this is not just for members of this body. This is for anybody who seeks. Jesus wants whosoever will to come to him. But you got to lay down what you are and be what Jesus wants you to become. And you'll see in the future that the Sanhedrin was eventually done away with. Even today, there is no Sanhedrin. Now, I want to get to, before it's time for me to stop, I want to get to the rest of this. John chapter 3, we started and stopped at verse number 3. Truly I say, unless you be born again, you cannot enter, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't see it. Listen to John 3:4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He's still asking questions. Now, I got ahead of myself, but I want you to understand what this is saying. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus, lawyer, knew all the law, full of law, but ignorant as he could be. Amen. Well, yeah, you calling him ignorant. He is ignorant. What does ignorance mean? Yeah. He didn't know. Everybody in here, don't you call me ignorant, is ignorant of something. Amen. I did it. Ignorance is not bad all in of itself. It's just the truth. I tell you what, you get sick and you need surgery and you call Brother Gary, you in trouble. But if you want to know what the Bible teaches for a man, a human being, to be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, call Brother Gary. To me, see, and I'm not bragging at all, but I'm just saying, see, some things are more important than others. And there are some things that I can be ignorant of that will not have any effect on my salvation. I go to Mr. Car Wash to get my oil changed. Well, Gary, you don't know how to change oil. Shame on you. Shame on me. Amen. I pay him, I get my coupon and pay $31 and I'll be just fine. Amen, somebody. I know my limitations. But I got a question for you, and it's not a joke. Do you know what you need to do in order to be saved by God? See, if you don't know that, Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he cannot enter a second time in the mother's womb and be born, can he? I mean, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you. No, did he say just what he said a while ago? Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born in the Spirit. He said, Jesus says, now, I wish I had time to read the rest of it, but Jesus says, now, listen. He said, now, I'm telling you what you need to do in order to enter and see the kingdom of God. He says, that's like the wind blows and you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. See, there's some things about God that none of us will never, ever know. We don't never know why God did things the way he did it, but he has done them. And he is the master, and he is the ruler, and he is Lord of all. And God can do things his way. Some people say, I just don't see what water got to do with nothing. It's not for you to see. But Jesus says, unless you are born, and folks have taken that passage and tried to make it mean everything but water. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, you might be smart under the law, you might be a Sanhedrin, you might be a judge, you might be a counselor, but if you're not born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, my goodness. Jesus, what you're trying to teach him? Notice this now. When Jesus said this, the kingdom had not come on earth in true existence. You remember Jesus' prayer? He says, pray after this manner. Our Father, which is art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Jesus, when he was on earth, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your kingdom not here yet, but I know it's coming, Lord. That's what he prayed when he was on earth. So when Jesus told him that the kingdom, what he was talking about, had not come yet. Listen to Luke chapter 9, verse 27. Luke 9, 27. But I say to you truthfully, this is what Jesus said while he was on this earth. There are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. When Jesus was on earth, he said, now that's some of you that's standing here. You're not going to die, but the kingdom of God. See, there are some people today who still waiting on the kingdom of God. And they've missed what Jesus already taught. Nicodemus asking these questions. How are these things going to be? And when Jesus told him all of that, I still don't think Nicodemus fully understood it. But we see by his actions that by faith he believed what Jesus said would come true. Amen. By faith, because of what Jesus had done and what he had taught. John chapter 3 verse 9. Go back to the text. John chapter 3 verse 9. Nicodemus said to him, he's still confused. How can these things be, Jesus? Can't go back in the mother's womb. I understand what you're saying about the wind and all of that, but I still don't understand what you're saying. What are you trying to teach me? Then the Bible says, Jesus said in verse 10, Jesus answered and said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. It's like he's telling Nicodemus, I've told you, I'm telling you what I know because of who I am, because of what I have seen, and I'm telling you, and you still don't believe me. You're still asking questions. Let me read on. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven. He's talking about himself, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He gives Nicodemus a hint right here. And he tells him this. He said, now look, when I was on earth, I was teaching in parables. And I taught earthly things in parables. You remember when Jesus taught about the kingdom of God? And he says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man that found a treasure in a field. And he sold all he had and bought the field. He said, that's how important the kingdom of heaven is. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl, that you find a pearl of great price and sell all you have to buy the pearl. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is just that. I taught that and people didn't understand it. He said, let me give you a clue, Nicodemus. Just as when you remember under the law of Moses, when they lifted up the rod and the serpent and they had to look up on it to be saved, he said, the Son of Man will be lifted up. Son of Man will be lifted up. And everyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, everyone who looks upon him will be saved. That's what he tells Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he still was confused. That's like somebody in here right now, but he'll get to your point. I'm going to close in just a second. You get to your point. I'm still a little wavery. Things are still a little bit foggy. That's all right. Understand. That, it doesn't matter. It's not a sin to admit that you don't know. What's a sin is for you to reject the words of Jesus Christ. And see, some of us want to understand every instance. Jesus says, look, if I start telling you about heavenly things that my Father has done, if I start telling you about spiritual things, you can't understand the earthly thing. You surely won't know everything that's going on in heaven. What I need you to do is to obey me.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Bible said, let's open up the doors to the kingdom and we're going to close. Jesus was on earth close to the latter part of his ministry. And Peter and the rest of the disciples were coming along and Jesus asked them a question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then verse 17, Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you. Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And see, in that day, in that climate, that was a profound statement because they're looking for a king to come. They looking at all of these prophets. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He says, I also say to you, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. That's what Jesus said. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it or overcome it. He says, I'll give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, we're trying to get the kingdom here now. Jesus is still on earth. He says, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And you know what we do with keys, don't we? We unlock things. We open things. And then we get to the book of Acts. I'm cutting to the chase. Good book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse number 37. And when they heard this, what did they hear, Brother Gary? That gospel message, the same gospel. Jesus had been, they heard a condensed version of the gospel where Peter preached about Jesus who came to this world, who lived, he died, he hung on the cross, he was buried in the grave, but he rose again on the third day. You remember what he told Nicodemus? When the Son of Man is lifted up. He says he rose on the third day, and that same Jesus whom you've crucified, he is Lord and Master. And Peter is preaching that sermon to all the people, all the nation, to the Jews first. Now, Jews were gathered together. You can bet your bottom dollar Nicodemus was somewhere around listening to this message on the day of Pentecost, preached into Jerusalem where the Sanhedrin met. And he's preaching that gospel. And he says to them, he says, and Peter said to the rest of the apostles, brethren, the people said, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, you repent. Notice this. And be baptized. Now remember what Jesus says. You have to be born of the water. And here's the message. Now, if Nicodemus is in that audience, hold up. Wait a minute. Jesus said, unless the man is born of the water and of the Spirit. Peter said, repent and be baptized. We know he was talking about being baptized in water. In Acts chapter 9, the Ethiopian eunuch said, see, here is water what hindered me from being baptized. So Peter says, repent and be baptized. Nicodemus is in that audience. Oh, my goodness. Now I see what Jesus was talking about. He says, be baptized, every one of you. Now, wait a minute now, Nicodemus. Now, Jesus says you got to have the water and the Spirit, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Bingo. I got it now. I was a Jew. I'm fixing to be a Christian. I'm fixing to be a child of God. I'm fixing to see the kingdom of God. I'm fixing to be entered into the kingdom. Jesus, thank you for taking the time to teach me. I'm telling you, you examine Jesus, and his word is so consistent. It is so true. And it still stands today. I gain so much joy in knowing that I've done exactly what Jesus said for me to do in order to be saved. In Acts 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received the word. Just like back then, some folk wasn't glad. Some folks were glad. Some people right, maybe someone right now, I don't know, I don't know, that just don't sound right. Well, keep reading, keep studying. But the Bible don't change. His message is clear. In the book of Acts, about 9-10 conversion stories. Convergence, individuals being baptized. You know, most of the individuals that were baptized in the New Testament, most of them were already religious people. Amen. They were already converted to something. Cornelius and his household, Lydia and her household. The Ethiopian eunuch was coming from worship, and he still wasn't saved, and he got baptized. If I had time, I tell you what, next I'm going to take my time. Next week, the Lord says the same. We have one combined worship service. I haven't decided what exactly I'm going to preach on. We now have made it. We've been examining Jesus. Now we've made it to where he's talked about the gospel of the kingdom. Now we know what we need to do into the kingdom. Now, in Acts chapter 2, chapter 1, he spent 40 days with his with his apostles. And he had a workshop, if you will, talking about things concerning the kingdom of God. It's how we identify. I think that's what I'm going to talk about. Nick, if you want me to do it right, I'll take about another hour if I can do it right now. Sorry, I won't do it now. God is good. I love studying. I hope you love studying. You're here today, you're not baptized. You're not a member of the kingdom of God. See, I want to get ahead of myself. The kingdom of God, the names of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, the house of God, the church of the living God, the churches of Christ, the church. These are identifying marks of the kingdom of God. What the kingdom, how it's identified. We'll talk about that because we want to make sure when you see, because he says, you remember how he says, when Jesus says, we pray as this manner. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Notice this, on earth as it is in heaven. See, there ain't but one heaven. Everything is in heaven is perfect. There's not but one God. And he says, I want your will to be done on earth. And God wants everybody in the world to be in his one kingdom. You're here today and you want to be baptized into the Lord's church, the kingdom of God, the house of God, churches of Christ. You come by faith. You obey the same message they obeyed on the day of Pentecost. When they heard this, it pricked their hearts. It touched their heart. I hope the word is cutting your heart this morning. They asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we, what must we do? Because there is something you got to do. Now, I'm not no preacher to tell you, just stay where you are. Let me pray a sinner's prayer. Let me pray over you right now. You receive the Lord Jesus in the house, in your heart. That's nowhere in the Bible, nowhere. And you hear it over and over again on television, and people think they're saved. That's not our message this morning. As we examine, as we look at the word, we want to do what Jesus told us to do. Amen. You want to believe, you want to be baptized this morning, you can be baptized. He told them, repent. He says, repent first. You heard God's word. You believe it with all your heart. We know they believe because they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? That was an open confession. He says, repent, change your mind about sin, be baptized, every one of you. So if you want to be saved, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. And we'll baptize you today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. You want to be baptized, we'll baptize you today. And God will add you to his kingdom. Where all the blessings are. Praise the Lord. Somebody come to Jesus. If you have a prayer request, won't you come as we stand and sing the song.
Killing soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, prepare to meet thy God.
Somebody come to Jesus today.
Careless soul, heed thy warning, for your life will soon be gone.
Oh, yes, your life will soon be
gone. Oh, I said to face thy judgment. So thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by, and your life is spent in folly. Oh, prepare to